Bye.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole's no women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How has the week been for you?
It's been pretty good, Cindy. And how are you?
Oh, good, good, good. We were saying right before the show started that it seems like it's always Thursday.
It is always Thursday. But like it's I told you earlier, like today I went into work and I was like, man, it's only Wednesday. And then like about a half an hour later, someone's like, it's not Wednesday, it's Thursday. I'm like, oh, bonus. So I felt like I got a whole day.
It's funny that way, isn't it? And, you know, we're looking forward now. I guess you're still doing a little bit of your snowboarding somewhere. Are you still doing that? Because pretty soon it'll be spring.
I think I might be done for the season. I was in Killington, Vermont last weekend, and we were supposed to go to Canada this weekend, and unfortunately we had to cancel our plans because there was just way too much to do for Lisa to prepare for her European tour. So they're doing 4 or 5 dates in Vienna and Prague and things like that right after Easter. So we had to unfortunately cancel Canada. Not sure I'm going to be able to get out anytime in May. Hopefully I'll be able to do one more pass. Maybe we can pull off Lake Tahoe late in May, but I might be done for the season. But that's okay, because right after Easter, the week that my wife is away, I'm going to be getting my motorcycle license. So I'm going to have a lot to do for the summertime and the spring anyway, even when snowboarding goes away. So,
all right, but you're going to be very careful on that motorcycle, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Your mommy is speaking here. Okay.
I always get the same response from that. It's like, yeah, you're not going to, it's either A, you're not going to ride a motorcycle, or B, you're going to be careful, right? So, yes.
All right. Okay. You're going to be careful, because we're going to call in all your angels when you're on that. And we have so many listeners tonight, and I know that there's one that with 0002 kind of weighed down, but she had emailed today and wanted to come through, but I have to let her know, right, and that she has to press 1, because if you don't press 1, we can't pick you up. So
exactly.
So with the 0002, the last 4 digits, if you press 1, we will pick you up. Otherwise, we can't pick it. Okay, perfect.
And you just pressed 1.
Good. And then, you know, you can screen some of the others, because I do know who this person is. And so I'm not afraid that she's going to, like, steal our show or, you know, hijack the show or anything, because we never usually like to put people through unless we know who they are. But I'm going to pick up that, and you can.
All right. And I'm going to go screen, and then I'll see you back here in a few.
Okay.
All right.
Hello. You're live and on the air. And who is calling us?
Hi, it's Susie.
Hi, Susie. It's good to hear from you. Susie from Long Island. And my husband told me you would call in tonight. So I know you've been anxious because you have a lot going on in your life. So you might want to share some of what's going on, and then we can help you with any insight that we have here for you.
Oh, that would be excellent. That would really be great. So I'm really calling. I do have a lot going on, but I'm calling for one really specific reason. And yes, it has to do with my love life. I am enamored by a specific gentleman. And what I'm wondering is, I don't know how much information you need, but I'm wondering, the signals I'm getting from him are mixed. So I'm wondering whether to really put time into it and really pursue it, or and put signals out that I want to be pursued by him, or if I should just forget it and move on.
Okay, that's a really good question, Susie. And I do see the mixed messages are going on here, because he has a little bit of commitment issues, this guy. And, you know, he may have been in a long-term relationship at one point or whatever, but it seems like he's a little scared. He does, you know, have feelings for you. I could see that much here. And, you know, I wouldn't just throw it away without pursuing it a bit, because it could be a lesson in you just putting your cards on the table. Have you let him know how you feel at all?
I have done classic flirting with him, definitely dropped hints. I just feel really happy and positive when I'm around him. And I get the usual, like, I get the butterflies and my heart drops whenever I walk in the room and he's there, or I've been in the room and he walks in. I believe he's in a committed relationship right now, which is part of the block, I know. So,
but it looks to me like he's in a committed relationship with someone that, you know, he doesn't, you know, it's not all that great a relationship at this point. And we call them the committed commitment phobics. They're with someone they may not care about all that much. I mean, he looks like he's not going to get involved with you as long as that relationship's in play.
Okay.
Because it's kind of messy and mucky. So that does explain some of the mixed messages he's giving you.
Okay.
Like he's letting you know he likes you, but, you know, is he local to you? Does he live like in the same area as you? Yeah. Because what I'm not going to name where you live, but kind of everybody knows everybody at some point. So,
yes, a little bit. Yeah.
It could be. Yeah. So he wouldn't really want the person he's with to find out that, you know, he's
no,
with
I
someone
completely
else.
Understand that. I completely understand all the barriers to this. And I understand that it's a complicated situation. I know that his situation from the time I met him has changed over time. I'm just wondering if it's worth me to keep trying and holding out, or if I should really just say, okay, I'm going to let this go and release him and go on and try to change my reaction to him.
Well, I can see you have a very strong soulmate connection with him. Now, with soulmates, we have many soulmates, and oftentimes it doesn't work out between soulmates. Just because it's a soulmate doesn't mean it's going to be happily ever after. I mean, you can't stop caring about a soulmate. You know, you can't shut that off. It's not a switch you can turn on and off, but it is one you could realize, you know, even if he's what I call committed commitment phobic, and he's with someone he doesn't love all that much, maybe he comes home with his body only and his heart, soul, mind is elsewhere, he may not want to leave her. And he may want to do this dance for 5 or 10 more years, and you don't want to be waiting forever for him.
Right.
And he's giving you the mixed messages because it's almost like he doesn't know what he's going to be doing. And he actually seems like a nice man here. That's one thing that's showing up. This is, you know, normally on our radio show, we're not talking about guys being nice, okay? So this, you know, this man looks like a genuinely nice human being. And he probably, what I could see here is he doesn't want to lead you on if he thinks he can't leave her and he's not sure he has the courage to leave her. Are they married or just like dating or living together?
They are living together, but she lives half the time in the city and half the time with him.
Okay, because it was funny because the cards kind of showed more than just, you know, more than just dating, not quite married. And yet, you know, she only lives with him half of the time. You know, that leaves him out on the open market quite a long time every year. But it seems complicated in his mind to end it with her. And, you know, it looks like the relationship's more than run its course, but he's kind of afraid to let it go. So, there, you know, you could put your cards on the table and let him know how you feel, you know, but I don't want to be wasting my time. you know what I mean? Or if it's not going to go anywhere, it can't go anywhere. In doing that, it kind of puts you in the position of being a little more in control of the situation. You know, I'm not thinking he's going to deny that he doesn't have any feelings for you. I don't think he's going to say that, but he might say to you, look, I can't promise you anything at this point.
Okay.
And that's probably what his answer would be. I can't promise you anything. Okay. I don't know what I want to do. He definitely, you're not making it up because I can see he has feelings for you.
He's not, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not?
No, you're not making it up.
Okay.
He has feelings for you as well. But
okay.
What I'm seeing here is it looks like he's afraid to leave. He's afraid to make that change. And a lot of people stay in mediocre relationships just because they seem safe.
Yes,
and,
yes, I know. I've been there, yes.
You know,
yes.
You had the courage to leave a marriage. It's not easy, okay? There's safety in the money and the security. And, you know, soulmate love scares people because you have to step up to the plate. You have to heal some certain issues. And it does look like the universe puts you in alignment with him a lot. Do you have to see him for work or something? Because it looks like you're in alignment a lot with him.
Yeah, well, we're in alignment, not just time, not just with our schedules, but our ideas, our thoughts, the way we think about things, you know, a lot of our, from what I can tell from our conversations, we think alike and our ideas are similar and we just have the same lifestyle. We're very similar. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I could see there's a very strong connection here. Okay. And you didn't choose to like this person. It was there.
No. No,
because,
I didn't want to choose him.
I know, because I know the kind of person you are. You know, you're a person of integrity. You don't really want to go after someone else's guy, someone else's, you know,
right.
That's not you. And so you wouldn't have chosen to like him. And nor was he looking to like you. It just sort of happened there. And it looks to me like that relationship is one that has kind of run its course. They're very comfortable with each other. And yet, you know, there's a lot of boredom here and a lot of, like, he doesn't know what he wants to do. He's kind of got one foot in and one foot out there. And, you
okay.
know, you've been brought. He doesn't know what he's going to do about it. He's, you know, so I don't see him moving this forward, and nor would you want it to move forward unless he's not with this woman, because it'd just be messy.
Right.
It'd be very
right.
messy.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, right now, when he sees you, he kind of feels like, why am I so drawn to her as well? And yet, it looks because they live together. There's some financial arrangements. When you live with someone, it's a divorce when you leave them, okay? You may not have the
yeah,
state
yeah,
of
yeah.
in your bedroom. But it's, you know, breaking up a home is never easy to do.
Right.
Do you know how
right.
long this relationship's been in play? Because it looks like fairly long term.
It's been at least, I would say, as many as three, many, maybe up to 5 years.
Yeah, because it looks closer to five to me. And
okay, okay.
the reason that I'm asking you this is because relationships work in five-year cycles. And
okay.
every, you know, three, four, onto five, God's saying fix it, leave it, do something. They're at this sort of fix it, leave it moment. And,
okay.
you know, you wouldn't want him to leave her for you. You would want him to leave her because the relationship
run its course. For him, yes. yes.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's run its
yes.
course. And it's and sometimes people need to see there's someone else there to help them get out of it. You know, I'm not seeing that he's ready to leave her just yet. So it could be like another year of him with her or more. So
okay.
I don't know how that's going to affect you, you know, to wait.
No,
till.
I appreciate the information. I completely appreciate the information. You've been quite helpful.
And you know,
thank
and,
you.
And again, you're not making it up. That's the one thing. You're not making it
I'm
up.
I'm so happy you said that because I thought it was like one-sided, but I'm not making it up. There's something,
no, you're not
there's a connection or some big chemistry. There's something there. Okay.
Right. There's a soulmate connection. His relationship with her has toxic moments to mediocre, kind of. You know,
okay.
it's long. It's run its course. Has he ever talked to you about the relationship?
No.
Right.
No.
Because he seems like he's a nice
I mean,
man, loyal. He's not going to badmouth her or say anything as long as he's with her. Okay, that I'll tell you about him. He's, you know, he's a
yes.
nice man that way.
Yeah.
And
the only thing that he's mentioned about her is that he's described her as kind of like a stepmom to his kids. That's the only thing I've heard him say.
Right. And that I was wondering, I needed that piece of information also because his, you know, because that kind of like a stepmom, remember I told
yeah.
you it's almost like a divorce here. They're not married, but they
yeah.
live together
yeah.
and the kids are attached to her. So suddenly this is another divorce. Okay. And he's been through that already.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he doesn't want to hurt his children and he's glad they like her. And, you know, it kind of works at that level. So in many ways, it looks like he's very undecided what to do.
Okay.
He's trying to put everybody first and not himself because he's a genuinely nice person. And genuinely nice people need to pray to do what's best for everyone, including themselves. Because
mm-hmm.
he's not thinking about himself. He is thinking about everybody else. I don't see him leaving her anytime soon here.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I would be nice when I see him and show him, you know, Susie, the wonderful woman that you are.
Okay.
And yet keep your eyes open for whatever else might come your way.
Yeah.
Because it could be a year, two
yes.
years before he leaves her.
Okay.
And it's sad. But again, sometimes we just need to hear, I'm not making this up.
Right.
You
right.
know, I'm not making this
right.
up. And I will tell you some sort of hints about soulmates is you don't choose to love them. You feel like a recognition factor, like you've always known them, like you're very comfortable near them. They tend to make a lot of eye contact in the beginning, and then sometimes when if a person's not sure this can work, they try to avoid eye contact just because they don't want to look that deeply at you. And so look at his eye contact towards you, you know, because sometimes they just don't want this to work. But
yeah.
souls find a way to commune. They tend to talk in codes with each other. And with a soulmate, you tend to find yourself thinking about this person or talking to them even when they're not there. You
yes.
feel like you're having a
yes.
running conversation with him. Is that happening
yes.
to you?
Yes, totally happening to me. Yes.
Okay, because those are the markers that this is not just an infatuation. Because with infatuations, we don't find ourselves talking to a person or having conversations. Have you dreamed about him yet?
Yes.
Okay, because when souls find a way to communicate and to love, and if you can't be together on the earth plane, then they tend to go to the soul plane as if they're, you know, as if he died. He's coming to you with his heart, soul, mind, but he can't bring his body to you because that still belongs in her world.
Complicated, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I would just pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to
okay.
healing. And you want to be the same. If it's this man, so be it. If not, bless him because what he's opened up in you, and it's almost like Sleeping Beauty, you're a little bit asleep and he's kind of woken you up,
yes.
is that
yes.
you would only want to be with a man that you have this strong a connection with. You don't want to be with just a man to fit a plan. You want to be with one that has this kind of connection. So some soulmates are what I call transition soulmates. They're there to open us up, to reveal what a soulmate is, and perhaps to ready us for the one that really God has in mind for us. Because, you know, you've been hurt, you've been married, it didn't work out. And sometimes we become what I call closet commitment phobics. We want love, but we're scared. So they brought this level of love that you could probably handle at this moment. But what you're going to see with this is soulmate love without commitment is pain. So you're going to maybe overcome some of your own commitment phobia and be open for that other soulmate who comes. So no matter what, a soulmate is there to help our souls grow and evolve, whether it works out or doesn't. And if we learn the lessons why it was brought into our life, we are readying ourselves for another soulmate. So
okay.
your boys need to see a better version of love than what they've seen. Are you aware of that?
My who?
Your sons.
My, oh.
Your children need to see a better version of love than what they've seen?
Yes. Yes.
And for their sake, God would like you to be with a soulmate. So if this man can't step up to the plate in a reasonable time, they would bring you another soulmate.
Okay.
So, okay. You know, keep us posted. Call in again if you want. And especially if something plays out, because, you know, we love to hear how these things, you know, continue, what happens, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, just be yourself. And if it seems like the right time to mention how you might feel, see how that goes. If you can't seem to work it in, I think he knows anyway how you feel. It looks pretty obvious.
Okay.
That he does. But keep us posted, and hope we run into you in the summer too, by the way.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good
I really appreciate
you.
Your help and your time.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so that was interesting. Isn't it interesting about soulmates? We just don't, they're just there, and sometimes, you know, we got to figure out why God, why this, why now? Why was this brought now?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, so we have Devin, who I just love, okay?
Yes.
I just love her, okay?
And Devin did not even want to call back in because she's like, you know what? I called last week, but I didn't ask this question. So,
well,
really, you know,
welcome
she
to call
played, she played the game, exactly. She played the game of should I not call back two times in a row. But I'm glad that Devin did call back because
and also
here's your
because,
question,
also because Devin he's almost finished reading Grant Me a Higher Love, which is a 579-page huge book. So anybody who almost finishes Grant Me a Higher Love gets on the radio show anytime.
That's awesome. Well, I think that our listeners are really going to appreciate Devin's question because she wants to know, Cindy, is there really somebody for everybody out there? Because she said some of us are having a really, really hard time, and she wants to know, is there really somebody for everybody? And I think that a lot of our listeners want the answer to that question, but they're afraid to ask. So Devin was brave enough to ask that question, and Cindy, it is up to you to give her the answer, and hopefully it's a good one. So here we go with Devin. Hello, Devin. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello, my darling, sweetest girl ever, who I love, Devin, okay? Devin, I feel a very soulmate connection with. We have different kinds of soulmates. We have friendship soulmates, and I feel that with her. From the moment she first corresponded with me, I feel like she's part of my soul group, and I probably known her in a past life because I feel very, very connected to her. And her question is a great question, and she is reading Grant Me a Higher Love. And just saying those words is a prayer, and it's the universe loves to grant people a higher love. Okay, that is what the only hope for humanity, and those of you who know me pretty well know that although you may think my mission is to help people have love, it's more than that. It's to help them have soulmate love because soulmate will teach the world peace, love, and joy. And my ultimate mission is world peace, okay? Above and beyond anything, my ultimate mission is world peace. So God would love to bring a soulmate to each and every soul on the planet because people who have soulmate love, who love heart, soul, mind, and body, they're not going to wage war, okay? They're happy. They're going to want to make the world a better place. And it is God's wish to grant everyone a higher love. But the problem with that is we have to earn the right to be granted a higher love. So, yeah, there's somebody for everybody, but some people don't deserve or haven't earned a soulmate. And they may be granted a cellmate relationship, which is a toxic relationship. You know, perhaps they need that. Cellmate relationships really do serve an important purpose on this planet. What are people going to do with all their childhood rage if they've been sexually abused or beaten? They have a lot of anger and rage. And if they didn't have someone they could rage with behind closed doors and then look normal in the outside world, there may be more suicide bombers and people gunning down people off a building. Cellmate love does serve a purpose. And sometimes if people stay in cellmate love long enough, they realize they don't want to be angry all the time. And sometimes they can grow from that and then be granted a better love. Some people don't want soulmate love. They only want a mediocre version of love, or they want, even worse, they want a narcissistic rung. It's what I call, you know, interchangeable love. They want to be with someone. It's all about the money and the power and the looks and the things that rise and fall. That's what they really want. Television all the time on, you know, a lot of the television shows are just promoting that level of love. And so you get the level of love that you've earned, you deserve, or that your soul growth needs. But there is someone for everyone. Of course, whether it's a soulmate depends on if they deserve that or if they earn it. So it's kind of a complicated question you ask, not an easy question. And if I were to look at my life, I could see the progression of the relationships and what I needed to learn. Sometimes we have to relive our parents' marriage because we've judged it. And if that's the case, then we're going to have not such a great level of love. If our parents had a disastrous marriage, then we will have to relive that. So in terms of a soulmate, you're a person who's really wants a higher love, don't you?
That's yes.
What you want. Okay. And if you really want that, and even if it's the person that you want to be with, just the way Susie was talking about someone she has a soulmate connection with before you, it may be a soulmate, and God might have intended for that man to leave the woman he's with because that relationship might not be that great, and let's have a better version of love. We can't make someone step up to the plate or move forward in their life if they're not ready. But we have more than one soulmate, and what happens is, what's happened to you is, you know, there's a celestial contract between soulmates. And when that person doesn't honor that contract, they break it because of fear or whatever reasons, then the other soulmate sort of left feeling that they're on Earth without a GPS, without a compass. And I think that's what you feel like right now, that you don't have your compass, okay? And you're sort of like, well, and until another celestial contract is opened up between another soulmate, until they can get that in alignment with you, because God can't bring two soulmates at the same time. Could you imagine the disaster? If you were perfectly happy and married to a wonderful soulmate and God brought you another one, like who would you pick? Wouldn't that be total chaos? So if we're granted, it would be horrifying. And so right now you feel a little lost, but notice how it had to be a soulmate that didn't work out for you. It couldn't have been lesser than that love, or you wouldn't have sought out a book like Grant Me a Higher Love. You wouldn't have tried to find out the answer. So when a soulmate love doesn't work out, it was a soulmate. And to honor that contract, what you're doing is trying to figure out the lessons in love being brought to you and the lessons in being it taken away from us. And they're both powerful, okay? Both powerful. And in trying to evolve, you know, when you're with certain relationships, particularly toxic relationships, sometimes when they're not working out, you want to kill yourself. They're so horrible, negative, awful. You don't evolve from those. You kind of become the worst you ever. With a soulmate relationship, if it doesn't work out, oftentimes the soul is hungry to find out what it needed to learn so that it can be granted another soulmate, or so that it can learn what it needs to learn to earn that soulmate love. So that's what you're doing right now.
Okay.
And you're readying your soul for it. And, of course, you're going to have a soulmate, again, whether it's the person that you've been longing for or if it's another soulmate, that's still to be determined. But all of your actions are telling the universe, I'm worthy of a soulmate love. I want that love more than anything. And in searching for the answers is how you will ultimately have a great love in your life. And some people really, again, don't want it. They really don't care. They just want a man to fit a plan. My eggs are old. They just go on Match.com, find somebody. It's not a great love affair, and they don't care it to be a great love affair. Older souls of your magnitude, you're a very old soul, know that we really are here to love. That is one of our primal lessons that we need to learn. And so you're going to be granted a soulmate. And are you saying the soulmate prayer that we talked about before on the show, praying for soulmates who's ready, willing, and able? It's important that they be ready, willing, and able. And, you know, oftentimes soulmates don't work out. You know, 45% of the world is offered a soulmate. 1% maintain it. It's shocking to me. I'm hoping by the time I die and I do this for 50 years of mission, maybe I'll up it a tenth of a percentage point, okay? I don't have much hope to do better than that, okay? I'm just hoping to get, you know, a little world peace, one soulmate couple at a time. And it takes a lot of courage to have a soulmate love. It takes a lot of courage to go out and find that. It's scary. And, you know, you said you're learning a lot from the book. Would you be able to maybe tell our listeners like something you've learned that's kind of stuck with you from it?
Oh, there's not just one thing. It's so many things. And like, I just love how I can relate everything to the situation. It's all just an aha moment.
Right. And that was like why I wrote it. I tried to figure out why so many relationships don't work out. What can we do to make them work out? And again, I hope what you get out of the book more than anything is we're only responsible for our behaviors. And if our soulmate can't step up to the plate, screws it up, messes it up, we will be granted another one.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Other person who ran away from soulmate love isn't granted another soulmate anytime soon until they do their inner searching, inner suffering. And the death of a soulmate love does feel like a death. It is really painful.
I can second that.
Right? And so you are definitely going to be with a soulmate. And you know, you're going to keep doing your reading. I hope you felt when you read the book that you were being guided by your spirit guides, because when I wrote that book, there were thousands of spirit guides telling me, anybody who reads this book, we will get their spirit guides to them. Do you sometimes feel like that?
I felt like that the whole time. Like, I'm not joking. The day after I prayed, I asked the universe to grant me a higher love. That's when I found out that Jake had a new girlfriend. And I was like, oh, okay, so he's not giving me a higher love, and God took him away, and now I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to get a higher love.
Wow. And you can see when you're on the path of a higher love, the universe does guide it every step of the way. And believe me, when a soulmate relationship doesn't work out, the universe cries and mourns. They really do. It is sad.
Oh.
They really want it to work out. And, you know, your generation's, you know, love anthem has been Adele's album 25 for the last 3 years. It's one of the best-selling albums around the world. Every song's about the love that got away. It's kind of frightening to me that that's an anthem around the world that people relate to. And, you know, it's for you, you're going to keep on learning. You know, you can pray for answers. For me, when I needed to learn some answers, this step on commitment phobia was no less than probably 2,000 spirit guides in my apartment when I was writing that step. Because I said, I need an answer. Something's not making sense to me about this world. And all of a sudden, that was so channeled. And I had the book, He Scared, She Scared, that when I went to the library about 2 years before, it was on sale for like a quarter. And I bought it and never even looked at it, okay? And they said, you had a book on your shelf that we got you for a quarter 2 years ago that you haven't even looked at. Would you please read that book? And when I was reading it, bells were going off and tweaking, and all this information was being channeled through at that moment. And so I needed an answer if it's something that wasn't making sense to me. And that has been probably... And that book was written in 2008, and I started in 2004. So that's how long ago that book. I didn't think that commitment phobia would grow to be such an astronomical problem as it is now.
Oh, my God, it's like everybody has it.
Can you imagine when they were saying to me, and when I was writing that step, every person who landed on my doorstep for readings for 2 months was dealing with commitment phobia, one way or the other. But I really did not think it was like really foreshadowing a trend that would be, and this whole thing with ghosting and disappearing, but people coming and going, like it really had, you know, shown me that the universe was afraid that this was going to be happening, that people were going to be messing up soulmate love. And it seems to be all the electronics, all the interactions, everything is sabotaging relationships in a way that's probably never been so much in the past. And, you know that you're going to be keep getting signs. You also have a little bit of mission along the field of soulmate and love. What do you do? What do you study or what do you do for a living now?
I work at a university, and we have a residency and fellowship college. Well, their programs, and we oversee all the doctors in training. And I'm also getting my master's degree.
And what's your master's in?
It's going to be in organizational leadership.
Okay, because I think you're going to be a leader in the field of love as well. That you're sort
of awesome.
You got something going on along there, okay? And
okay.
So, you know, you're learning all you need to learn, and it's a lot. And you know, even with me, with Grant Me a Higher Love, it cracks me up because sometimes I won't know an answer for something in my own life, and I'll hear my spirit guide say, "Cindy, it's on page 87, please. Would you open the book?" And I'll read it, and I'll go, "Oh, yeah, I know this stuff. You know?
I wrote that.
And sometimes, like, some of my clients will send a quote, and I'll go, "That is great. Who wrote it?" And they go, "It's in your book." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
And it
reminds me of Beethoven. I wrote a one-man play about Beethoven. And one time with Beethoven, someone was playing a piano piece, and he said, "That's lovely. Who wrote it?" They go, "You, maestro." So I always think,
God.
"You, maestro." So, you know, I'm glad you're reading, and I'm glad you called in because your question is so full. And, you know, I hope you realize that you were meant to call that in.
I feel like I was, too. So I'm glad I didn't unpress one.
And you know, keep us, you know, informed. And let us know if, you know, the bells go off or something that you've learned or something that you did that actually helped something manifest. Because it's interesting to, and any time there's a question when you're reading a book, if you're any book, and you're not sure if it's truth or untruth, the universe will show you if truth or untruth. Within
mm-hmm.
a day or two.
Okay.
So, you know, keep us posted, and, you know, that higher love is definitely going to come your way.
Perfect.
And just keep us, you know, informed.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're
Cindy.
Welcome, Devin. We'll speak soon. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Isn't she the cutest thing? That was a good question, wasn't it? It's complicated, too. It was not an easy question. It was very complicated. And,
yes, it is.
Now we have,
never easy, Cindy. Never easy.
No, and, you know, it's funny because sometimes, like, with sites, they ask me to, like, write a comment on a soulmate or something like that. And the questions are so simplistic. And, you know, you can't just answer yes or no. It's so complicated, you know.
Yep.
And it's funny because love is very scientific. That's the one thing that I learned when I was writing Grant Me a Higher Love, that it is very scientific. It's like not just random and it's not mysterious. It works in a very predictable fashion, and there's no mystery about it once you understand the levels of love and things like that. So it's not very mysterious to me anymore. It's just, why doesn't it work out more for people is still like what I'm hoping for. Because
yep.
That commitment phobia is getting astronomical. We talk about it all the time, but it is.
Yep.
And,
yep,
you know,
if only we could learn how to get out of our own way.
Mm-hmm. And I had to get Nicole out of her own way, didn't I?
Oh, I was perpetually in my own way. That was my job.
It would be like, Nicole, that's not
going to
work.
I'll be the first to admit that.
We had to get Nicole out of her own way so that she could get the higher love that she has. And I'm so
yep.
excited, by the way, that Lisa's going to Vienna, because I would love to go to Vienna. I mean, that is
so
like...
So would I.
I'm envying her right now.
I'm envying her too, because I was supposed to go until I had to put a transmission in my truck last month. And then I was like, okay. I'm like, guess I don't have to go right now.
Oh, I know. Isn't it always? It's always something. It's always
exactly.
Something.
But it's all good, though. It's all good. I'm happy that she's got this opportunity. And, you know, she's going with, you know, one of our, because one of our very good friends is obviously part of her band, but his wife is also going. So she's got her confidant there, her sister from another mister. So, Yeah, it's going to be a great experience for her and for the group itself too. So that's wonderful. Even though
wow.
I can't go, it's still good.
Well, see, that's what we love. We're not jealous when our mates go to Europe, like when TJ went to Chamonix this winter.
Yeah.
It was what he should do. He should have his fun skiing. And
yep.
I was here, you know, working on my play, and I got a lot done. So I was like, it was all good.
Envious, not jealous.
Yes.
Because those
envious.
Are two very, very different things. Envious, but not jealous.
Right, and envy can be a good thing. Like if you we usually envy something that we can do. In other words, if we see a great singer, and we're a singer, we will envy her because we believe we have the potential to be great. If we're not good singers,
absolutely.
We would admire her and be a fan. So we could use the envy to make us lose weight if we envy someone. We can use it for that. So envy isn't always a bad emotion. It can be a very good emotion
no,
because it helps us be
all.
Better people. So, but jealousy
yeah, people just have
never
to remember. People usually put envy and jealousy in the same as they usually exchange them as synonyms, and they're not synonyms. So,
no, they're not.
So for the listeners out there, the best way to differentiate the two is that if you are envious of somebody, you're happy that they have what they have, that they're doing what they're doing, and you kind of wish that you can do that too. If you're jealous of that person, you're not really happy for that person, and it's kind of like an attitude, well, if you can't have it, then they shouldn't have it. So those are that's kind of like the most remedial way that I can explain the difference between envy and jealousy, and it's a little bit more complicated than that, but the simplest way is for that. So, you know, if you're envious, you kind of just wish you can do that too, and you can use that emotion as motivation for yourself. But if you're jealous, you don't want them to have what they have because you don't have it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's very good that we, you know, talked about that tonight. And also jealousy, even when people are jealous in a relationship, sometimes jealousy can be a good thing if you've been taking your partner for granted and suddenly you see somebody showing a little interest. It might be God's way of saying, don't take anybody for granted, please. So even jealousy can sometimes be something that's a messenger from the other side. So,
yes, correct.
And you know what? My one prayer that I do say every day is, please free me from toxic envy. Do you know what I mean? Like
yes.
That I should never envy someone in a way that I'm not happy for their success. Okay, you know, which can be a human emotion to sometimes be envious of other people in a negative way. So that's been my prayer for my whole life. Just don't. And I think I've pretty much mastered that with people. I try to genuinely be happy for them. And it's important. Now, you have to say with somebody. Emily, where is Emily calling from?
Emily is calling us from California. And she actually called us back in October, Cindy. And way back when, she discussed a lovely man named Cooper. And, you know, she, I guess, had a whole bunch of questions about him, and here she is several months later, and this is going to be a little bit of a give and take, Cindy. Emily wants to give you an update about her Cooper situation, but she's also looking for you to update to see if anything has changed cosmically on your end. So here we go to Emily in California. Hello, Emily. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Emily. So, what's happened so far since we spoke?
I think it was October, and since then, we actually really randomly ran into each other at this car mechanic, both in a large city, both getting oil changes on the same day.
Oh, that seems impossible.
Yeah, it was pretty impossible. I almost didn't go. It was like, why would I go to this mechanic when I can just go down the street? But I went there, and kind of since then we were talking a little bit more regularly, like every couple weeks. And then finally in December, I asked if we could talk about like some stuff, and we talked on the phone, and I had this January, like first New Year's cutoff kind of time in mind. Like if something doesn't change before then, like I'm going to let him go, and I'm going to start dating, you know, because I can't hold on to this forever. And then we had this talk, and he said he didn't really know what to do, and blah, 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 but then ended up calling me after New Year's, and all through January and February, we were, like, on the mend again, and he kept telling me how much he loves me and how much he missed me and how nobody else, you know, all these things, and he told me before he even saw me, before we even saw each other again since November, because I had a feeling he was kind of scared to me because that would kind of make his feelings, like, real. He told me that I was the girl. And then, so February, we were kind of, you know, we were dating and he was calling it dating, but there was definitely some, like, a couple arguments. And then in March, basically, to make the story shorter, he, like, ended it again a couple weeks ago. He just said that.
And why?
He said we need to let each other go, like, literally a couple weeks after telling me I was the girl and all of these things.
Okay, when we were talking about commitment phobia before, that should have made your ears perk up, because commitment phobics are otherwise nice people that do something very cruel, okay?
Yeah.
What he did is very cruel, and it's not unusual at the moment that a commitment phobic tells you that you're the one and they love you, like, you can expect a run, like, in record time after that. And so what he's doing is oftentimes what commitment phobics do. They bring us close, then they run away. Then when they think they may lose us, they come back again. They do this, like, yo-yo thing. And, you know, I'm not seeing that he won't – I mean, I'm seeing he's going to probably resurface sooner than later here.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't right, because he's doing the ghosting thing. Then you just disappear. And with commitment phobics, they don't even let you go in an arena to fight for them. They make the decision to end it. And you're like, what? What?
Yeah.
And it's like – and the only equivalent sound I might say the sound of a heartbreaking makes is it feels like a prison door has been slammed at you, okay? And if you can't go in an arena to fight for them, that's, you know, horrible. I mean, it's your hands are tied. You don't know what to do. And we didn't come this far in liberation to have anyone call all the shots. Like, you can't call me. I'm not ready for this. I don't want it. We have to end this. Commitment phobics, the one trait that I've noticed in the 24 years that I've been doing this is that they're always narcissists, because they don't care how they hurt other people. Like, everybody gets scared. Love is scary, okay? What if I love you and you die on me? I mean, people are terrified of it. But the difference between a narcissist and a non-narcissist is I would get my ass to therapy before I'd break your heart. I'd say, why am I hurting the woman that I love? What the hell is the matter with me? And I would say to you, you know, you're the love of my life, and I'm very fucked up, and I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to try to find out why so I don't hurt you. But narcissism
is kind of
about them. It's about him.
Yeah.
And, you know, have you tried to contact him since this breakup?
Oh, no, because every time I've done that, and, like, I haven't really contacted him much. And the funny thing is that the breakup was 2 days before the initial breakup a year ago. So it was like kind of like a whole year later, almost to the exact date. And that's what made it even worse, because I was just like, where did I even, I didn't gain anything from this past year. Like, it's like it's just happening again.
Right.
But no, I have not tried to contact him, because.
And I would advise you not to.
Yeah, I know that it's just going to hurt me, because he probably wouldn't respond, because he doesn't know what to say, because he knows how hurt I am. And it's kind of funny, because 2 weeks before this happened, we had a long conversation in person for a few hours, and he realized that he needed therapy. And that's one thing he said to me in October, is that he needs to go to therapy because he's scared of his reliving his parents' marriages and failed relationships and stuff. And then when a week before this happened and we talked on the phone, he told me he was going to therapy.
Okay, so, now, he's judged his parents fairly harshly, okay?
Yeah.
And when we judge our parents, we become our parents. And he swears mm-hmm. he's never going to be them, but mm-hmm. he's being them. Now, he's, you know, he's, their marriages didn't work out or whatever, but he's showing with you, he can't make love work. He's running away. It's not working. But he's narcissistic. He's judgmental. And he's not always accountable for his behaviors. Okay, those traits yeah. are not good in one human being. How old is
yeah.
he? How old is he?
27.
Okay. When you met him, he was, like, closer to 25. And brain chemistry, like, gets pretty solid 25. But there was the universe brought him a soulmate as a last wake-up call at sort of the age when people become who they're going to be, hoping that it would wake him up and get him to realize, you know, the things he needs to learn. But he's getting to the age, as he's starting to get older, he may not be very fixable if he continues this. I mean, those traits are really hard to fix in a person. And
yeah, he has a hard time seeing my points of view in terms of our relationship.
Right.
But
yeah.
in most all other areas of life, he's pretty open to my opinions.
Right, but it's funny because he's messed up. You know, your generation is very busy judging my generation that got divorced, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They swear they're never getting divorced. Well, they're never getting married, and they're never having relationships. And they're also going to
yeah.
be perfect parents because in their eyes, we were not perfect parents. We're going to be divorced, or maybe we were working mothers, and all of a sudden, we are not perfect parents. And they judge us very harshly, and they're all going to be perfect parents because they're not having kids. Okay, so the judgment that he has are going to affect his life. Is he still in therapy? Was he in therapy when you were with him still?
No, he just started like a month ago.
Okay. Now, soulmate yeah. love brings up unhealed issues, and the therapy is
yeah.
probably bringing up unhealed issues. So the combination is when the issues start to surface is when people run away. And they
yeah.
think, I was fine before you came into my life. No, you weren't. You had a
yeah.
Band-Aid on a carcinoma. And now I'm here. And that carcinoma, it needs some healing. And every time the things surface, and sometimes it's just, if you have, your story is to judge your parents harshly, and you're allowed to judge your parents harshly till you're 25. He's over the age of 25. Nobody gives a flying fuck what his parents did. Okay? It's like too late, too old. And yet,
mm-hmm.
he may not want to let go of that story about what his parents did. Okay? And he may be wanting to hold on to that. That victim story and that whole bit. But the therapy looks like it stirred up some things in him. You know, he's going to be given like probably 3 months altogether from when you last broke up to see what his thoughts are. If they're registering, I need to heal my issues so I can be a better person and come back to her. The universe will keep the door open for him. But there will be a point where they will bring you another soulmate because if it looks like he's not going to heal his issues for 10 years, do you want to stick around and be hurt for 10 years?
No.
And, you know, again, he's an otherwise nice person that did something cruel. What he did to you is very cruel.
Yeah.
And commitment phobics have this ability to, run away and, run away from things, and you know you don't want to be a person who's going to happen all the time, okay? Because it's really painful when people do this. And
mm-hmm.
I had a boyfriend like this when I was in college, and you know his mother was a schizophrenic, and she had killed herself, and the family was very dysfunctional. And he would pull this crap back, you know, and that was 40 years ago, the ghosting, disappear, I wouldn't know where he was, you know, over a 3 years period, he did it like 8 times, and, you know, finally I had enough of it, and I ended up, you know, being with someone else and marrying him, and about 5 years after I married my ex-husband, I was pregnant with my daughter, and I ran into friends of ours who had known this man when we were in college, and they said, you know, you really broke his heart. When you left him and you got married. And I said, no, he broke my heart all the times he came and went, and I didn't know where he was for months on end. And the guy looked at me and said, oh, my God, I just went to dinner with him with his current girlfriend, and she was crying hysterically because he had, like, disappeared for a few days and then came back. Like, he was still doing it, like, 5 years later to somebody else. And,
yeah.
Like, the message is, if these people can't heal, we don't deserve to be hurt all the time. Do you realize you
no,
don't
and I think
to be hurt?
He, yeah, I think he, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's one thing he said to me on the phone, is that he doesn't want to hurt me every day because he feels like he's stringing me along.
Right.
Which
and,
is true.
Right. And, he, you know, with you, you know, pray for a soulmate also who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. If it's him, so be it. If it's someone else, and, you know, then let that be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it does look like he's going to resurface again. So how are you going to handle that when he contacts you?
I think about that. I'm not really sure what to do because every time he's contacted me, I've always responded or called back in an appropriate time, like that day, you know. But there's been a couple of times that I've reached out to him, not like begging or pleading, just basically saying hi, and I don't get a response, and that's like really hurtful. So I'm not really sure if I want to wait because I don't like to play games. And that feels like playing games, or if I'm just going to give it a couple hours and then say something. I don't really know what I'm going
to
do.
What I would say to tell you to say to me is, what's your intention in contacting me?
Yeah.
Stick 2 feet in here and make this work. If not, I can't do this anymore.
That's what I tried telling him in December. Like,
right.
You contact me and we like talk for hours on end, and you can tell that there's such a strong connection there, but I can't keep doing this, like, wondering when the next time I'm going to hear from you is.
Right, because remember, we didn't come this far in liberation to have a man call all the shots.
Yeah, and he
well.
Knows that, too. He knows that it's all on his terms, and it's not fair. I did want to say one quick thing, if we have time. Hello?
Right, sure.
Oh, like before my relationship with him, I was in a super, super toxic, awful, unhealthy relationship for like 4 years. And we lived together and the whole thing was just a disaster. But I always knew I couldn't be with him and wouldn't marry him and eventually would have to, like, need the strength to move on. But it just took a long time. But I would go to yoga, and there was a song that's something about higher love that would play, and that it always made me feel so good. And then that was kind of after that relationship was over, or I was trying to get over it because I realized I deserved so much better. But then during that relationship, at night I would like think of my dream man and all these things that he would do and blah, 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 and then Cooper came and it was like all of those things. So it's kind of weird how like manifesting kind of works in a way. I didn't really realize that until a couple of days ago when I was thinking about that like toxic relationship and what I would do, and then finally got over it.
Wow. And also, when you're in yoga, that would be a place where you might get some messages about a higher love.
Yeah.
It would be the perfect place.
But now it's just been an emotional roller coaster for the past couple of weeks.
Wow.
So.
Well, you're going to call in again and let us know what's happening, okay? Because that's why we're here, so we can, like, help you through this. And I do see him resurfacing, but it's interesting how tonight has been all about soulmates and and people's commitment issues. But keep us posted. Okay. And anyway, that's my clients here. They're early. They're not supposed to be here for another 15 minutes. So let me.
They're early.
And I hate that, people. Please don't come here early because then I don't get a break
for
my
Thursday
between things. Okay. Okay. So we're at the end of our show and we'll all speak next week. Good night, everybody.
Yes, we will, Cindy. Good night, Cindy.
Bye.